It's such a privilege for me to be able to step in when Aubrey is away and just share these times and share these moments with you. I was just joking with Scott earlier because on the back of this microphone it says spare. And so I'm quite happy to be the spare to jump in when needed, right? Just that spare guy on the team, that spare guy. I just loved being called off of the bench. And it's just a real privilege for me to share and be a part of this community. My wife and I, Mary, we've just really enjoyed, you know, getting to know so many of you over these last few years and being able to, you know, step in this capacity. So I'm excited to share a couple of things. So this morning you're going to get a little bit of a word that I got kind of extra through the week, and then you're going to get the full sermon that I've been working on for a little while. So you're going to get a twofer today. Is that all right? Everybody likes a two-for-one deal, right? We all like bargains. So I'm going to give you a two-for-one. So here's the little sermonette, if you will. I was thinking about Paul as I was reading through Romans, and he talked about how the thing that he knew he should do, he didn't do. The thing that he didn't want to do, he ended up doing. How many have ever had that conflict go on in their lives, right? It happens to me when I'm at a cafe, going through and just going in just to order a coffee. But as I'm going past the pastry display, there's just something that just goes, well, wait a minute, that chocolate donut looks really good, right? I mean, we don't need to do a sermon on how to eat healthy. Right? Is there anybody here that does not know what's good for them? Right? We all know what's good for us. The struggle is the same as Paul gets, right? It's the thing I know I should eat, I don't eat. The thing that I end up eating is the thing I shouldn't be doing. And so there's this constant war. There's this law that goes on. And so I wanted to encourage us this morning with that. Because this is a law that is ageless and timeless. It doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are. It doesn't matter how immature or mature. It doesn't matter how wise or unwise you are. This law is in effect. That the very thing that we step out that we know we should do, there's something that comes along and says, oh, don't do that. Take the chocolate donut. Take that instead. All right, that law is always going to be at work. So I wanted to encourage us just with that little tidbit this morning, because oftentimes we can beat ourselves up, can't we? Right? After that sixth chocolate donut. No, I'm kidding. Nobody would ever go that far. Even I wouldn't go beyond two. But we can beat ourselves up thinking, man, I should know better than that. I should be making better choices. I should be making wiser decisions. I shouldn't be pigging out at the pastry table. I should be loading up with fruits and vegetables and getting more exercises and doing all those different things. We can beat ourselves up. But I want to encourage us that it's a law that's going to be constantly in effect. It's always going to be there. And God entrusted us with free will. We can choose the donuts or we can choose the apples. It's up to us to make the choice. But here's the deal. Once we make a bad choice, rather than beating ourselves up, we learn from it and say, okay, next time I'll only eat one chocolate donut. I won't eat two. Right? We make better decisions as we grow along. But know that that's always going to be there. It's kind of like an alcoholic isn't always an alcoholic. It doesn't matter if they've been sober 30 years. They still have to be mindful of their environment. They have to be mindful of what they do. And it's the same as you and I going through day-to-day life. We just need to be aware of the decisions and the choices that we make. And Paul reminded us of that in Romans, that the thing that I want to do, I don't do. The thing that I should do, I don't do. Right? It's that conflict that's always there. So I wanted to encourage us with that this morning. All right? So that's the mini sermonette. All right? Is that good? Is that helpful? Right? Because I really feel that, you know, as believers, as humans, we can just get caught up in that cycle of just beating ourselves up and making bad decisions. And we think, you know, like I'm in my 60s, I could probably use a, you know, drop a couple of pounds, a little bit around the spare rim here. But, you know, it's just all about making those wise choices as we go and know that we have that ability to do that. So that's the mini sermonette. This morning, I want to talk about creating time. Is it possible to create more time? That's what I want to talk about this morning, right? It's nothing magical. There's nothing woo-woo about it. It's just practical steps to create more time. But at the end, I'm going to give you one step that will probably, well, it might shock you how simple it is. So, I don't want you to fall asleep through this sermon. If you fall asleep, I will step down off of the stage. I will wake you up and embarrass you in front of everybody so that you don't miss that last point. No, I'm kidding. I wouldn't do that to you. I did do that once, though. I was in a, we were speaking at a youth thing, and one of my youth leaders fell asleep. Fell asleep while I was teaching youth. So here we are with 50, 60 kids. I'm teaching away, and I'm looking down, and there's my youth leader. So as I'm talking, I'm just kind of creeping down. And I went down off the platform, and I came up, and I went right alongside him. And I won't do it to you. I don't want to scare you. And I came right along, and he's still looking up, just meditating inside, right? That's all it is, right? We're not sleeping. We're just meditating on the inside. That's all we're doing. So he was meditating, and I came down, and I said, "It's time to start." And he jumped up off of his chair. So, but I promise I won't do that. But all through history and all through our lives, we have challenged or have been challenged with time, haven't we? How many have ever found that there's just not enough time at the end of the day? There's not enough time at the end of the week. There's not enough time to do our commitments or to do follow through on things, right? There's always been this wrestle with time. And throughout history, we've seen things invented that are supposed to save us time, right? How many ever remember seeing commercials or seeing different things over the years of things that will save us time, right? When we look at the way that travel started, we just walked, right? Scripture, we read scripture, it was nothing for Jesus and the boys to walk 2 or 3 days to go to another community. Right? So walk was the mode of transportation. If you could afford it, then you get a horse. And then if you could really afford it, then you got a wagon to pull behind it. Right? And that was the beginning of transportation. And then it evolved because we needed to get there quicker, didn't we? We needed to save time. We needed to get there faster. So then we used the invention of the round wheel and we put it on bicycles. Then we motorized them and we created cars. And then at the turn of the 1900s, Ford came along with the Model T, right? And he created production lines to get them done faster so that more people could afford to have them to get around quicker to save time. And it continued to grow. We had ships, we had airplanes. When airplanes came on, that was pretty fast moving around, right? Like for me, our son and daughter-in-law live in Thunder Bay. And Thunder Bay is about an 18-hour drive from where we are located. And it's a 2-hour flight, which isn't bad. You know, 18 hours down to 2 hours. I've never calculated in walking steps. I don't know how long it would take. I would guess a month, right, to walk 18 hours. But 2 hours isn't that bad. So flight came along. It was really great. But that wasn't enough. So in the 70s, what came along was the Concorde jet. Right? And its voyage from New York City to London, which is a 6 to 7 hour flight, was done in under 3 hours. It travels twice the speed of sound to get us there twice as fast, and you would think that would save us twice as much time. But how many have found that even with all these inventions and these things, you still don't have time? There's still not enough of it. And we can look at appliances. We can look at modern things around the house, right? When electricity came along, we had all kinds of wonderful inventions came along. No longer did we have to heat up that pot of coals to warm up the bed at nighttime, right? We could now just turn on the electric blanket to save us time to have to warm up the bed. Ironing was another thing, right? We didn't have to put the iron over the coals or heat it up. I'm not even sure how they heated it up back in the day. But when electricity came, all you did was plug it in. You could add some water to create steam, and it saved us time. The washing machine, right? No more going down stairs and going out the back and just using the washboard to clean our clothes. We could now just pop it in the washing machine, and it would save us time. And so constantly, over the years and over the decades, more and more things have been created to save us time. Then there's the food industry. That's changed everything, hasn't it? I mean, before, we used to have to go in, park our car, walk into the restaurant, sit down, order our meal, wait for it to come, and have our meal and then leave again. That wasn't fast enough. So they created drive-in restaurants. How many remember drive-in restaurants, right? Where you pull in the big parking lot at the front and you flashed your lights and somebody would run out to your vehicle, take your order, usually on roller skates. And then they would go back, bring your food, hang it on a tray on the side of your window so that you could sit in your car and make it smell like hamburgers and chicken and french fries. And then when you were done, you flashed your lights again, they took it away and off you went. But that wasn't fast enough. We had to create drive-through restaurants. So now we just drive up to a box, talk to a box, tell it what we want, and drive to the window, give it our money, and then we take our bag of food, and then what do? Oftentimes we just go and sit in our car someplace and make it smell like french fries and hamburgers and chicken. Or we would take it home, all for the sake of saving time. But that wasn't fast enough. Now we've got apps on our phone that we can get, DoorDash and all these, Skip the Dishes and all these other ones that we can call. Now we can order our food online so we could be trapped in traffic, like coming home from Toronto, which used to be a 45-minute drive, now is almost 3 hours to get home. So now when we get closer to home, we can hit the DoorDash, dash in, and get our food delivered right to our home, all for the sake of saving time. But what do we do with all this time that we're saving? We still don't have enough. Because we still say things like, time is just flying by, right? How many have ever said that? Time is just gone. I don't know where it went. Or when somebody asks us to do something, what is our first response? I don't have time to do that. I can't find the time. I can never make it there on time. How many have used that excuse? I just couldn't get here on time. We've always wrestled with time. Each of us has 24 hours in a day, which is 168 hours a week, which is about, I think it's 8,760 hours a year. So regardless of where we live, regardless of how old we are, regardless of our political status, our religious status, any other status, we have 24 hours. When the clock starts creeping up to 12, we can't search around looking for extra time because there's no more time. Once those 24 hours are gone, they're gone. We can't sit there 11:45 and say, oh, I'll call my neighbor. Maybe my neighbor didn't use all their time up today. I'll call Alejandro. Alejandro, did you use up your hours? No, you only used 18 hours. Can I buy those 6 hours of time? I need a 30-hour day today, right? We can't do that. We know that the time we have is the time we have. So how do we make more out of the time that we have? Because we're called in Scripture to be wise with our time. Because I know you're probably thinking, why is this guy talking about time? Because all through Scripture, Scripture has called us to be wise with our time. When we look at Colossians 4, it says, walk in wisdom and make the best use of your time. When we look at Psalm 90, it says, Lord, teach me to number my days that I gain wisdom. So the psalmist is being mindful of the time that he has on this planet, knowing that he wants to gain wisdom. And in James, it reminds us that life is fleeting. Our life is like a vapor. It's here today and gone tomorrow. So I wanted to start by reading Ecclesiastes 3, and I think we've got that on a slide. But I wanted to read Ecclesiastes 1-8. This is probably a very familiar time. How many have heard this one before? Right? We've all heard Ecclesiastes before, but I thought it would be a good thing just to kind of set the stage, and if I can get my glasses out, I can actually read it. So Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1 says this, there's a time for everything. A season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill, a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. And it's unfortunate that some of these things have to happen or do happen, but the writer is reminding us that there's time for everything. Everything is in time. And we're governed, as long as we're living on this planet, we're governed by time. We're governed by these 24 hours, because these 24 hours add up to weeks, add up to months, add up to seasons, right? They help us to keep track of the seasons, keep track of what's going on. But God is outside of time, right? It, Scripture reminds us that God, you know, it says to God, a day is like 1,000 years, right? Because he's not governed by time the same way we are. He puts that to help us keep order, to help us keep track of seasons. Could you imagine what it would be like if we didn't have schedules, right? Because I wanted to talk about three steps before I get to the final point. I'm going to talk about three steps to help us maximize time. And one of them is to prioritize time. It makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, we want to prioritize our time. Because if we didn't prioritize and have schedules and have goals and set things up, could you imagine what it would be like? Imagine showing up at work if there was no starting and finish time. People just kind of came and went as they wanted. Or high school, going to college or going to high school, university, grade school. Imagine if there was no schedule. Just show up when you want. I mean, I know some kids would probably like that, right? Not starting at 8 o'clock or 8:30 in the morning. I'll just go in when I want to go in. I'll just go to whatever class I want to go into. I'll stay as long as I want in this class, and then I'll go. But no, there's time. So we need to prioritize. We need to prioritize our time and set things up properly so that we can achieve, so that we can do things. We also want to evaluate our time, right? How many know that we can waste a lot of times on things that we don't really look at, or we don't really examine, we don't really evaluate how we're using that time, and we can end up spending a lot of time. And again, once it's spent, can you get it back? No, it's gone. Once we spend the time, there's no refund. Like, if I don't use my time wisely today, I can't go in Monday morning to the clock and say, give me 3 hours back because I didn't use it properly. Right? We know that we can't get it back, so we need to be wise with it. So we need to evaluate how we're going to do that and set realistic goals. How many have ever tried to do too much in too little time? Right? Kind of reminds me of the Amish expression. It says, the hurrier I go, the behinder I get. Right? The faster I try to do something, sometimes I just feel like I'm going backwards because I'm trying to cram too much into that time. So part of evaluating is just saying, okay, let's be reasonable. Let's use Google. Let's search and see how long it should take to do something, and then I can give it the right amount of time. Because that would save a whole lot of frustration. That would save a whole lot of relationship tension if we all got on the same page and said, okay, this should take this amount of time, let's spend this much of time and do it. The other thing is to appropriate time. Just saying, okay, this is what I'm going to allot for this. We do that when we go to school or university. We're going to get a degree. We could say, okay, it's going to be a 2-year, a 3-year, a 10-year. What am I going to allot to this to grow? And I really believe that we need to continue to do this even as we get older. There's no restriction. Time doesn't stop just because we retire. Time doesn't stop when we hit a certain age. These laws around time don't stop. There's something that we continue need to grow and manage as we're aging even. Sometimes we can get busier when we're not working. I mean, I've talked to a lot of people that, you know, once they retire, they're like, I'm busier now than I ever was. But appropriating time is one of the key things to do. But here's the number one thing that we can do to create more time. Are you ready for this? Are you ready for this? Oh, yes. Okay, I just wanted to make sure I didn't have to come down and wake somebody up. I was going to make sure. So here's the number one thing. I want you to write this down. Make a note. Inscribe it on the back of your hand if you have to. Write it on the neighbor. No, don't write it on your neighbor, because if they leave and you can't follow them, you lost your note. But write it down someplace. But here is the number one way to create and make more time. Are you ready for this? This is so profound. Some of you may fall out of your seats. It's so profound. But the way to create more time is to eliminate delay. You're all looking around going, what is he talking about? So think about it. Let's say we want to build a bookshelf. So where do we go to get our material for a bookshelf? We go to IKEA, of course. We go to IKEA to buy our bookshelf. So we go to IKEA, get the box, bring it home, set it in our living room, and now it's like noon hour. So we thought, okay, I'm going to have lunch, and then I'm going to put this bookshelf together, right? How many have ever made that negotiation, have negotiated with themselves, saying, look, I'll just eat a little meal, have a little coffee, maybe grab another chocolate donut, and then I'll do this task, right? So we negotiate that kind of thing all the time. So we finished our meal and we look at the box going, oh, wait, there's something else that I had to do. And we go off and we do something else. The kids call us. Our neighbor calls us. Our wife, our husband calls us. Somebody calls us. We have to do something else. There's something more important. Maybe it's a Netflix show. I mean, we got to keep up on Netflix, right? We got to keep up on Prime Video. We got to keep up on the current releases. We got to watch them all to make sure that we know what's going on. So the afternoon goes by, and we still haven't got that box open. We haven't started to put our thing together, but now it's supper time. So we got to eat supper, right? We have to eat supper. And of course, we have to have dessert, and then we have to have a coffee or something after dessert. We have to sit out on the patio. We have to do, and then, oh, my evening show is on. Now I got to sit down. I got to go back to Netflix, and I got to watch my show again. And then it's bedtime. We're walking through the living room going, oh, I didn't do that bookcase. I'll do it tomorrow morning, right? How many have ever said that, negotiated that with yourself, saying, oh, it's okay. It's okay, Peter. Don't worry about it today. Do it tomorrow morning. First thing in the morning, you'll get up, have breakfast, have your coffee. I'm fresh. I'll be energized. I'll stretch so that I'm ready to go. And then I'll make that bookshelf. The morning comes. Something comes up. An important email. An important phone call. Somebody needs your help to do this. Or the plants need to be watered. Or that chocolate donut is calling you again. You have to answer the call of the chocolate donut. You cannot miss the call of the chocolate donut. So you have to do that. So now it's noon hour, and of course it's lunchtime. And so now you go through the afternoon, and on it goes. And so we add time to one project. And here's the deal. Here's what happens. It's not just the physical project. Mentally and emotionally, we're spending energy on that project. Why? Because you know while you're eating that chocolate donut, you're thinking about that crazy bookcase that's not being built. So now you're giving it mental energy. And what happens when we start to spend mental energy? Physically and emotionally, we start getting, oh, I'm a terrible person because I didn't build this bookshelf. I haven't even opened up the box. I haven't even looked at the pretty pictures that IKEA makes with it. I haven't looked at the Allen key and how it operates. I haven't checked any of these things out. So emotionally, we start bigging ourselves up. Mentally, we start wearing ourselves out. And we're adding time to that project. How many have ever, don't put your hands up. How many have ever added days or weeks or months or dare I say years to a project just because you didn't have time? So the way to create more time is just to eliminate the delay. Just, okay, it's 1 o'clock. I'm going to start this thing now. And just open the box, dive in, do it. Forget the chocolate donut. It'll keep till the project's done. Forget the phone calls. Ignore the phone until the project is done. Now we've got it completed. We've got it set where it needs to go, and we're adding stuff to it. We've got it all decorated. We've got our books in it. We've got everything. We've got all the pictures. We've got everything done. Now what happens? Emotionally and mentally, we're now rewarded because our brain goes, good job, you got it done. And what happens? It releases endorphins. It releases the happy drugs, and we're smiling on the inside because we got it done. And we've saved all the hours, the days, the weeks, the months of anguish thinking about that project. And it can go beyond projects. It can go to a phone call that we put off because it's just going to be an uncomfortable family or business phone call. So we keep putting that off, but emotionally, mentally, it's just wearing and eating at us and taking up time. It could be putting a resume together. It could be doing a book report. It could be doing a business report. It could be doing whatever it is we need to do. by delaying getting it done, we're increasing the amount of time and energy that that project or that particular task needs to take. So by establishing good boundaries, by establishing goals, by setting up schedules, by saying that this will be done at this time and getting it done, we actually increase time. Does that make sense? So why am I talking about time on a Sunday morning? Again, I want to take us back into Scripture because we're called to be wise with our time. One of the greatest gifts that we can give God is by using the things that He's given us wisely. Would you agree? We know that right now there's the whole reverse in trying to change things on our planet because for decades, for centuries, we've abused the planet. We've torn down forests. We've uprooted entire species where there's thousands and thousands of species that are on the brink of extinction because of our abuse and mismanagement on the planet. So now there's this whole change now to try to be more environmentally friendly, to try to reverse time so that we can get the planet back to a sustainable level where it's healthy and it's balanced. One of the greatest gifts that we have is giving God the honor of just using our time, using our talents, using our gifts, using our abilities, using the time and energy that we have for His goodness. Does that make sense? So we come on a Sunday morning and we give of our time to worship. We come on Sunday morning to give of our tithes and our offerings. We're giving back and saying thank you for what you provided. Thank you for the opportunities that you've given me. None of us have had to pay for our lives. And none of us have had to buy the 24 hours that we get every day. It's a gift. And it's a law, it's a motion that God put in place. And by honoring Him and using our time to our best is one of the greatest gifts that we can give back to Him. Because like it or not, we all have an expiry date. It's the sad reality. We know that, you know, when we look at Ecclesiastes, you know, there's a time to be born and a time to die. We know that. But it's that line in between that we use to give glory to God. It's that time in between that really counts. It's that time in between that we're using our gifts and using our talents, using our time wisely, that we can look at the end, and there's one of two results at the end of our life. There's results or there's regret. Those are the two things that face us at the end. We look back and we can say, I did this, I accomplished that, I invested in this relationship, I invested in my family, I invested in my community, in my church, and I did a thing, I used my time wisely and I see the results of it. Or we can lay there and say, I regret not doing that. I regret not building that, doing that project, adding time, not showing up, not doing what I said I was going to do, not spending that time with my son or my daughter or that family member or that neighbor. And it's only regret that we can have. So I want to encourage us this morning to look at how we use our time, regardless of where you are on the age spectrum. I look at my time and I evaluate it more than I ever have in my entire life, and I just turned 64. I look at my time and I use it appropriately now. I use it in a different way because I don't want to be at the end game going, I regret not doing this. I regret not getting to publish number 12 book as Alexander suggested. But I want to have results. And I want that for each and every one of us. That we get to that end and we just say, I'm grateful. As I reflect on my life, I'm grateful for the things that I accomplished. So even now as I'm talking, I'm sure your mind may be wandering to one or two projects or one or two phone calls or one or two relationships or one or two things that need your attention. Is that true or true? Right? We're all probably thinking of one or two things that we need to tackle, that we need to get a hold of. Now I'm sure if I sat here long enough and watched, I'm sure I would see some elbows going into the person beside them going, yeah, did you hear that? Get that project done. So I want us to remember, as I said in that mini sermonette at the beginning, the thing I choose to do, I want to do or I should do, I don't do. It's all about choice. So we can make a choice today to begin to make better decisions, to begin to step in and use our time wisely, invested in relationships, invested in other people, invested in your church, invested in your communities. Use it to continue to grow. I don't think there's an age limit for that either, of continuing to be the best version that we can possibly be. Let's pray as the worship team comes up and continues in worship. Let's just pray. Father, we're grateful for this reminder to remind us about time. We know that time is ticking. We know that time is going by. We know that time doesn't stand still. But Lord, we choose today not to make excuses for it any longer, but look for reasons of and ways that we can use our time more wisely to honor you. We're grateful for the gift that you've given us of life. We're grateful for the 24 hours that you give us each and every day. Lord, help us to make the most of that time. To be like Philip and be in that place where he was listening to your voice when you said, go stand over there and listen to that, what that person is going through right now. And as he listened, he was able to invest in that person and saw their life changed. May we be a people that listen to what it is you're having us do, listening to what you're calling and inviting us into, because there's a continuous invitation that you give us to join you, to advance the kingdom, to invest in people, to invest in things around us. We ask that you would give us ears to hear, give us eyes to see, and give us the words to share and encourage other people with. But we thank you for the time that you've given us. And Lord, we choose to make better choices and make better use of our time. And we just bless you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.